Here's our SEC Big 12 Super Tuesday doubleheader on ESPN 7 Eastern. You got 11-6 Florida taking on Auburn. Then the matchup of the Knights in the Big 12, where you have number 23 Kansas squaring off against number 12 Texas in Austin. All that and more. It's Good Hoops tomorrow night on ESPN and on the ESPN app, which are some of the places that you find us every weekday morning. Welcome back to another hour of Get Up. I am Greeny, coming to you live as always from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. The menu is packed for hour number two, and here it comes. We're getting up with the NFL carousel and the start of a week that could change everything. We'll tell you exactly what's going to happen, including the very latest from Steeltown, why this decision could come literally any minute and could result in the end of an era in Pittsburgh. Plus, it was the dunk that broke the internet. Where does this sensational slam stack up with the best that you've ever seen? All that and more as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the big deal from last week. Carson Wentz, the worst season of his career, just came for him. He threw 15 picks in 2020, tied for the most in the NFL, despite playing in only 12 games. And, of course, he was benched for Jalen Hurts during a Week 13 loss in Green Bay. Hurts won his first game as a starter, lost the final three. Then Wentz was traded last week to the Colts for a third-round pick this year and a conditional two, the following that could turn into a first-round pick. He arrived in Indy this weekend and published a lengthy post on his Instagram account that read in part, "What a journey. To the city of Philadelphia, thank you. On the field, we brought the Lombardi Trophy home to Philly and hopefully brought a lot of joy to the city over the years. Thank you to the Eagles organization for drafting me and making my NFL dream come true." That is interesting for a number of reasons. One of them is we haven't heard anything. I mean, literally anything from Carson Wentz going back to the end of the regular season and even before that, the benching. So there are still a lot of questions, but that Instagram post is the beginning of it. Meanwhile, as far as where he goes now, Tim Hasselbeck, you made an interesting point. I've heard other quarterbacks say it, that if Carson Wentz can be good but not try too hard to be great in Indianapolis, that actually could be the best thing for the team. What does that mean?
Well, it means that he's going to a ready-made team, as Keyshawn told you, just last segment, basically. Look, here's the situation. They have a great defense, one of the best in the league. They have the ability to run the football because they have a good back and an outstanding offensive line. They have done a good job addressing the wide receiver position, and they may not be done doing that. And so I think when you look at what Carson Wentz should be asked to do, they shouldn't put it all on his back. It's a great supporting cast. And so I think with Frank Reich's knowledge of the player and putting him in situations to be successful, he shouldn't be in a situation where he's got 600 attempts this upcoming season. They don't need to put it on him. They put it on the football team. And so I think that he'll play better in return. And then ultimately, that's good enough. And that's probably the right plan for them going forward.
But they have in Indianapolis, in my view, and I think the view of a lot of people around the sport, Mike Tannenbaum, an elite general manager. When you look at the situation they find themselves in right now, he remade the offensive line. He has put together a Super Bowl caliber team in a lot of different ways and has them with plenty of salary cap room if they need it. So he's done it all efficiently. So they've done an outstanding job. To what degree is this a risky move? To what degree are he and Frank Reich putting themselves on the line by making a trade that it does not seem anybody else was interested in making?
Greeny, I agree. Chris Ballard's done an outstanding job. But this move was, to me, almost reckless slash desperate. And here's why. They gave up multiple high picks, probably a first rounder next year, for a player that there was no other competition for, someone that lacks confidence, turned the ball over a lot. And when it's all said and done over the next couple of years, in my opinion, they're going to have the fourth best quarterback, assuming Deshaun Watson's still with Houston, behind Ryan Tannehill of Tennessee and Trevor Lawrence of Jacksonville. And I think in this situation, they really negotiated against themselves. And if they were more patient, they probably could have had Carson Wentz for maybe one pick, maybe a mid-round pick, because clearly Philly wanted to move on. So while they have a good foundation, I think this move really at the end of the day was reckless in terms of they gave up way too much to get a player they could have had much less inexpensively.
I think that's reasonable if you consider what wound up happening with Jared Goff, whose contract is similar and the circumstances are similar, and the Rams basically paid someone to take him off their hands. But Tim Hasselbeck, I feel like you have a skeptical look on your face. Why is that?
Well, I think Wentz has more physical ability than Goff, so I think it's a little bit different in that regard. In terms of, best quarterback in the division, fourth best quarterback in the division, Look, he's probably going to be better than whoever the Texans have at quarterback this season. I think that'll be better than Trevor Lawrence early on in Trevor Lawrence's career, rebuilding a roster in Jacksonville. And again, he doesn't have to be the best quarterback in the division because the team is has the best roster supporting the quarterback in the division. And so I think when you look at it in that regard, look, if you are trying to make him the best quarterback in the division by putting it all on him, then you're doing it wrong. Like, that's not what you should do. And here's the other aspect to this. Yes, you know, they gave up some pretty significant compensation to get him. But if he plays well, you're going to have him under contract for the next 4 years for less than $100 million. That sounds like a lot of money, but that is a massive bargain in a world where starting quarterbacks are making around $40 million a year. So I think when you look at it in that way, with a quarterback that's played at an MVP level for a stretch with a coach that was with him at the time, then I think it actually does not feel as desperate as Mike has kind of portrayed it to be.
It's an interesting thing. Kimberly Martin, jump in here. What is your sense? Go ahead.
Well, as Tim was saying, I understand Wentz does not have to be the guy necessarily in Indy because they have all those other pieces. But keep in mind, Wentz literally left Philly. There's a statue of his backup who won the Super Bowl in Philly. He was benched for a second round pick. Like, this is a form, like, if you're Carson Wentz and your confidence and leadership has been questioned, it's going to be very hard to walk into this locker room and feel like, okay, I can just sit back and be a complimentary piece. He's going to want to show I can be the guy and lead this team to a Super Bowl.
The dynamics of this are fascinating, which is why I said last week I believe he is under as much pressure as any player in the NFL this coming year. Meanwhile, let's go through some other my items as we begin a new week here on the clock. And Kimberly, we will start with you as we start approaching free agency. I know you have some thoughts on why the deals might look very short to people. Give me 30 seconds on the clock. Let's hear why. Kimberly, go.
Yeah, Arizona Cardinals running back Chase Edmonds may have foreshadowed our free agency future a little bit when he said we're going to see a lot of one-year rentals. And I agree, because when you talk to people around the league, they talk about, you know, the cap is going to explode in the not-too-distant future. And I had one league source tell me, you know, guys that sign long-term deals now, they're going to be upset when they see the money that's being doled out in a few more years.
Listen, that's a really important point. If you look at the way NBA contracts exploded when the new television deals there kicked in, that's what's going to happen with the NFL in the reasonably near future, as opposed to this offseason where the salary cap is going to come down. So keep an eye on that. One-year deals could be the thing. Mike T, I'm coming to you next. I know you have your eye on a quarterback by the name of Mac Jones. Give me 30 seconds on the clock. What are we thinking?
Mac Jones, University of Alabama. His floor is number 8. Carolina Panthers, go back to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Matt Rhule loved him. It's no secret they're looking for a quarterback. So Mac Jones' floor in this year's draft is number 8. A lot of speculation about New England. If New England, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, if they have conversations and that goes well, New England's going to have to get above 8 to go get Mac Jones.
Unless, and I like that thought, unless Carolina winds up getting Deshaun Watson, which is one of the teams that he is being somewhat rumored to go to. But the point you're making is Mac Jones is going higher than people expect him to go. Yes? We talk about him as the 5th quarterback in this class.
Absolutely. His floor is 8, and even if Carolina takes Deshaun Watson in a trade, somebody will trade up for Mac Jones.
Okay, I like it. All right, Tim Hasselbeck, I know you have your eye on another free agent who is out there right now. Give me 30 seconds on the clock. Go.
Well, listen, it kind of piggybacks off of what Kimberly was saying about these one-year rentals. Look, J.J. Watt, you know, released by the Houston Texans, a lot of people critical of the Texans. But there isn't a team in the league that wants J.J. Watt on a one-year $17.5 million contract. So, look, what the Texans did, I think every other team in the league would have done. And so when you talk about one-year rentals, I think you have to look at a contender for J.J. Watt on a one-year rental and money that is probably less than half of the $17.5 million that he was due in Houston. So maybe it's Cleveland. Maybe it's Green Bay. I think there are contenders, but I think the money will be surprising and it will make what the Texans did make a lot more sense to people who have been following it.
Interesting to watch. We'll see if the money is the driving factor, and if it isn't out there for him, where's the best spot for him to try and win a championship next season? The one thing missing from his resume. We'll take a short break on that thought. So much more still to come as we go. If Deshaun has indeed played his last game in Houston, what is the one thing the Texans have to get in return? We'll talk about that. And meanwhile, the other Texas team, a big decision to make on their quarterback this week. You'll hear what that is and what the fallout could easily be as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. And Kimberly Martin, let's run the hurry up and let's begin with the latest on Lamar Jackson's contract. What are we hearing?
Yeah, you know, Eric DaCosta, the Ravens GM, has said, we want to make Lamar a Baltimore Raven for a very long time. Now, I checked in on whether both sides have talked, and they have had conversations, but I'm told nothing substantive. But that doesn't mean a contract extension for Lamar Jackson is not on the horizon. Now, Mahomes, congratulations. Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs quarterback, is officially a girl dad. Him and his fiancée, Brittany Matthews, welcomed baby Sterling Skye yesterday. The two of them tweeted out a photo. So Mahomes was talking about his pregnant fiancée during Super Bowl week and was saying, I hope the baby holds off until after the game. And apparently she listened. Now, Deshaun Watson. We are always talking about Deshaun Watson, aren't we? Question I always am asked when I reach out to people is, why would the Texans move on from him? He's the cornerstone of this franchise. He's a stud QB, and if we're going to give that up, then obviously the Texans want a stud QB in return. So look at the field. Who has a stud QB to offer the Texans? Look at Miami. You look at Jacksonville with the first pick. You look at the Jets. But will Deshaun want to go to the Jets? We'll see. I know Greeny would love that, but we've already been told by Schefter and Mortensen that's not going to happen.
So let me sort of drill down on a couple of those things, because I read through them in your notes earlier today. The appealing part of this from the Jets' standpoint for Houston, would that be Sam Darnold in a trade, or would that be the second pick in the draft, which could then turn into Zach Wilson or a different quarterback if they like?
Yeah, they have the second overall pick,
right?
And they've got a couple good pieces. Their roster needs work, but they've got a couple good pieces. You can package first round picks and a key player and give it to Houston. With the second overall pick, you think, well, that guy, whoever we take at that point, could develop into a stud QB. At least that trade makes sense. Sam Darnold, not so much.
Yeah, I understand that completely. So, Mike Tannenbaum, let me go through that with us here, because Miami has Tua Tagovailoa and a whole bunch of draft picks if they wanted to, and the Jets have Sam Darnold and a bunch of draft picks if the team wants to. If you're Houston and you do come reluctantly to the conclusion that we're going to have to trade him, what exactly is it you want to get in return?
Yeah, good news for you, Greeny. I'm going to the New York Jets because I want as many first-round picks over the next couple of years, which they have. And I'm going to take the second pick overall, and I'm going to draft Zach Wilson. He has the highest upside, best athlete. We just looked at that tape a couple of minutes ago. And even though I don't want to move on from Deshaun Watson, I'm going to get Quinnen Williams and three first-round picks, most notably the second pick overall. And that'll be at least a way I may be able to get another franchise quarterback. And most importantly, Greeny, act decisively, because right now, no free agent who has a choice is going to want to go to Houston until they know who's playing quarterback.
And I know your sense, Tim Hasselbeck, here is that it's hard for you to envision the situation being irreparable. But from the quarterback standpoint, if you do, same question, if you are looking to replace Deshaun Watson this coming season, who are you looking to replace him with?
Oh, well, I mean, listen, it would have to be somebody that, you know, you can sell to your fan base in terms of a high draft pick, somebody to, you know, to build around, something like that. But I don't think there's a replaceable, you know, in a trade. Like the Sam Darnold thing, and I think Sam Darnold's a good player. Like, I don't think you can necessarily sell that. And I don't think that that necessarily fixes the problem Mike just alluded to in free agency in terms of attracting players. I don't think it's irreparable, though. I mean, to me, you know, Deshaun Watson signed a contract, Greeny, 5 months ago. Some of the issues people have pointed to happened prior to Deshaun signing the contract extension. He appears to be upset about the fact that he did not have input in terms of the head coach and general manager hires. If that can't be fixed by the new general manager, Nick Caserio, or by David Culley, the new head coach, then I think that's kind of too extreme for me personally on Deshaun Watson. The fact that they can't kind of say, hey, listen, we understand you're offended by it, but this is a new regime. Let's move forward and get this fixed.
There seem to be a lot of issues there that are maybe more deeply ingrained than that, and they seem to go all the way to the top of the organization, Kimberly. So I'll come back to you. You started this conversation by saying people around the league are saying, well, why would they trade him, or I wouldn't trade him? Is the sense that people have that ultimately they will have to?
You know, when you ask people about Deshaun Watson, the people that know him best say he is a good kid, number one. I mean, he literally was just giving out food to people over the weekend. So, I mean, he's a good community guy. I just think that people look at this like, if you have a quarterback, why get rid of him? Convince him to stay and try to smooth over this relationship.
Let's see if they're able to do it. Everyone says he's not bluffing, but you won't know that until someone forces him to do it. Let me get up and go here around what was a very busy weekend in sports. Hall of Famer Deion Sanders won his coaching debut at Jackson State yesterday. They're playing a spring schedule, but he said his personal items were stolen from the coach's office during the game. Luckily, they were later recovered, according to Deion on Twitter. Elsewhere, the Australian Open, Novak Djokovic is the champion again, beating Daniil Medvedev in straights for his third straight Aussie Open title. He's now at 18 majors, two back of the record shared by Federer and Nadal. And finally, it took some playoff holes at the Genesis Invitational at Riviera, but ultimately it was Max Homba beating Tony Finau on the second extra hole when Finau missed about a 10-footer. For Homba, it was his second career win. As we roll on with all the names on the carousel this offseason, there was one that too many people are ignoring. He could be somebody's missing piece, and I'll tell you who he is coming up. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up. And Kimberly Martin, can you help Tom Brady out here? Did you see this over the weekend? Brady tweeted, so what am I supposed to do for the next 5 months? Well, I'm not the only person thinking that. Kimberly, any advice?
Do what I'm doing, Tom. Work the phones. Call up guys. Tell them if you want to win another Super Bowl, if you want to get a championship, come to Tampa Bay. That's what he should do.
All right, fair enough. Seems like as good a suggestion as any. We have much more that we're doing here as we continue on Get Up. Coming up, Timberwolves rookie Anthony Edwards had the dunk of the year on Saturday. Where does it rank among the best you've ever seen? It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
You want basketball? We're the place for you tonight. ACC Big 12 Monday doubleheader for you on ESPN. Syracuse and Duke gets the action started 7 o'clock Eastern. And then you got number 15 Texas Tech taking on Oklahoma State. That's tonight right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, NBA game of the night last night was a good one. James Harden and the Nets, Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. No KD for the fourth straight game. Fourth quarter, Clippers down 11, but they're not giving up. Paul George for 3. Yes, 8-point game. Steve Ballmer, oh, he loves it. Under 7 to go now. Nets up 6. James Harden, you can't give him any room. I mean none. 37 for Harden plus 11 boards. Nets up 9. 4 minutes to go. 7-point game. George, again, he had 34 but didn't play the final minutes because of a minutes restriction. So with 1 minute to go, Clippers are down 5 and it's Lou Williams in the corner for 3. Yes, it's a 2-point game. Kawhi would tie it with a couple of free throws. We got 15 seconds to go. Kyrie Irving, he would score 28. Can't get that one to go. Oh, but DeAndre Jordan is there for the tip. It's up. It's good. It's a 2-point lead for Brooklyn. 11 seconds to go. Kawhi to the basket. Up and good, but hold everything. It's an offensive foul. Take another look. Kawhi pushing off on James Harden. He wants a challenge, but they don't have one remaining. And so the Nets hang on to win it 112-108. And so, look, the Nets, when they play good teams, they've been great. After they win last night, they're 12-4 against teams 500 or better. That is the best such winning percentage in the NBA. And let me bring Jay Williams into the conversation now. Jay Will, you know him, KJZ, obviously every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. Jumps over for a minute. All right, let's start with that one. Jay Will, good call, bad call on Harden at the end there?
Horrible call. James Harden had just bullied Kawhi Leonard the last possession going down. That was a horrible call. Should have been a no call at all throughout the course of the game, Greeny.
So if they had a challenge at the end there, you think it would have been overturned?
Yes, I do. They lost their challenge, though, they actually challenged something else throughout the course of the game, so they lost it. But those are one of the things that you wish you had something in your back pocket to challenge a call like that. I didn't see the arm of Kawhi Leonard extend all the way to a really big push-off. If the game's physical, like the way it's been called the whole game, like last night, let them play through that.
I'm with you. It's a bad call. All right, let me jump to some other things that happened this weekend. I'm sure a lot of people watched Joel Embiid Friday night score 50 points in a game against the Bulls. He's right now the second leading scorer in the league, and he's averaging 11 rebounds. Is he the MVP of the NBA?
I think right now he's still 1B. It's still LeBron James for me. I think this is a stretch coming up for LeBron James in which it can make or break his MVP run, right? Because if you're playing after having 71 days off, after winning the championship, at 36 years old, he hasn't load managed at all, Greeny, at all. If he plays well during this stretch without Anthony Davis and keeps him above 500 during this stretch without AD, like, and he plays, he's averaging 30 points a night and he's playing at a high level, I think LeBron James has a chance to kind of run away with this award. But Joel Embiid, the 50-point game, 17 rebounds, I mean, he played out of his mind against the Bulls, and they're the best team in the East record-wise right now. I still think that the Nets are the best team in the East, but Joel Embiid is playing high, but he's still 1B as opposed to LeBron James being 1A for me.
I'm with you. And if they don't load manage LeBron and he refuses to do it all year, I'll vote for him, even if I think that Joel Embiid should be the MVP because I hate the load management that much. Okay, one more thing for you. Anthony Edwards, Friday night. I mean, this was the dunk of the year by far. So let's juxtapose it, as he throws it down, with some of the other great dunks. Jay Will, give me your thoughts.
Well, look, obviously, I think a great dunk screen, I go to Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss in the 2000 Olympics. Seeing Vince Carter jump over a person who was 7 feet tall was stupid. And then another one, Greeny, March 11th, 2013. I'm sitting courtside at the Clipper game on my boy Scooter, and I watch it happen. I watch Brandon Knight literally have chalk outlined around his body by DeAndre Jordan. I've never seen it. I know DeAndre Jordan is crazy, athletic, greeny, but just the fact, like, as a small guy, the wrong place, the wrong time, sometimes in the course of a game, you see the ball and you just react. And poor B. Knight just reacted. He just reacted, and his face was around areas on DeAndre Jordan's body that no man's face should ever be around a human being in his life. I feel bad. It was a 187 that happened on that day for Brandon Knight. It was not a good day.
I remember waking up the following morning and hashtag RIP Brandon Knight was trending. And my first thought was, oh no, something tragic has happened. And I suppose from a basketball standpoint, that's exactly right. How good was this dunk though Friday night? How good is this dunk by Anthony Edwards in game?
It's the dunk of the year. It's special. Here's a crazy thing, Greeny. The stat line though, when you dig deeper, I mean, it was 0-7 from the 3-point line, 3-14 from the field for only 7 points. So we take away the dunk, but it wasn't a great night for Anthony Edwards. I don't want to steal his thunder. He played well, but social media, you know the things we love, and I give him credit for the dunk.
It went crazy again. Jay Will, he's the J in KJZ. Back to ESPN Radio, coast to coast every day. Good to see you. Thanks, Jay.
My man, Greeny.
Right, meanwhile, let me run the floor through some of the other NBA action. It starts with what a good game this was. The Pelicans rallying from 24 down to beat the Celtics in overtime yesterday. Brandon Ingram had 33. He hit a go-ahead three with 33 seconds left in the overtime. It is the largest comeback in Pelicans franchise history. Zion, you see there, he's been spectacular as well. Elsewhere, Giannis had 38. Chris Middleton had 32. Bucks beat the Kings 128-115. Milwaukee winning its second straight, ending a five-game losing streak with the victory over OKC on Friday night. So they're starting to get it back together again. And then the reporting from Woj last night. The Timberwolves have fired their coach, Ryan Saunders, after their loss to the Knicks. Team is now finalizing a multi-year deal with Raptors assistant Chris Finch. According to Woj, Finch is expected to begin the job on Tuesday with the game in Milwaukee. And if you're looking for basketball, Wednesday night we've got it for you, a doubleheader on ESPN. It's Steph and the Warriors finishing up a four-game road trip at Indy. Then it's the top two teams in the West, LeBron and the Lakers, and don't miss Utah, Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. Our coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame, SportsCenter at 7. Right here on ESPN. Back to the NFL. Carson Wentz arriving in Indy over the weekend after being traded from the Eagles to the Colts. He had, to say the least, a bumpy season in Philly, but will now reunite with Colts head coach Frank Reich, who was his offensive coordinator for his best seasons in 2016 and 2017. And so I'm going to bring my crew in here, and I'm going to throw a thought out there. And I'm going to make this point on the radio show today. I believe the two big quarterback trades so far, Matthew Stafford going to the Rams and Carson Wentz going to the Colts, both quarterbacks got exactly what they wanted and wound up in extraordinary circumstances. So here's my question for you three. Which one gets to the Super Bowl first? Stafford as a Ram or Wentz as a Colt? Mike T, if you had to bet that palatial estate of yours in Boca Raton, Florida, which one are you betting on?
Oh, I don't like this bet. I'm going to say reluctantly Matt Stafford and the Rams. This is like the Dan Orlovsky Super Bowl of questions. I mean, you know, it's like his two children here. But I like Stafford.
He's going to call
Aaron
in soon.
Donald, I'm going to take that defense. Yeah, probably. Again, I just think Carson Wentz really struggled last year. Confidence, turnovers. I see him as the fourth best quarterback in that division. Stafford still has elite talent, and I'm going to take that Ram defense.
All right, Kimberly, who you got, Wentz or Stafford?
Do you want to get punched or kicked? I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. I'm going to go with Carson only because I like the team better. I think the team is stacked better. There's something about – something's not right in L.A. I like Stafford going to the Rams. However, I don't know. There just seems to be too much movement, too much change in L.A. Something's going on there. I think the Colts with Frank Reich, Chris Ballard as GM, I think they're going to make the right moves, keep this roster loaded, and Carson Wentz is set up to just take a breath and play the way he knows how to play. So I think he's in a better spot.
I agree on that front. I think that he is in a great spot. But Stafford, to me, I understand what you're saying, but Stafford, we're going to find out he's one of two things. He's either a good quarterback who's been on terrible teams, or he's a great quarterback who's been on terrible teams, and I'm betting on the second. Tim Hasselbeck, who are you betting on?
Well, let me first say this. Mike Tannenbaum should not bet his Boca Raton palatial estate. He's come a long way from Needham, Mass. I'll tell you that. And I would just say this. I'm going with Matthew Stafford. I think the upgrade just physically at the quarterback position on what is a really good team and, quite honestly, an easier, you know, conference to make to the Super Bowl out of. I think, you know, the AFC probably a tougher path, you know, than the Rams would face. So, in that regard, I think it's Matthew Stafford. Can't say I love it either. I wouldn't even bet Mike T's house on it, and I don't live there.
Listen, go ahead, Tannenbaum. Hey,
I was going to say, and we're not even talking about how far quarterback money goes in Tennessee, so we're happy to start talking about sizes of houses here because, you know, Tim, you know, you probably tear a hamstring going from one end of the house to the other.
Look, I think we're talking about this as though it's far-fetched on my part. Kimberly Martin, I would suggest that if a healthy Matthew Stafford had been the Rams quarterback this past year, they may very well have been in the Super Bowl. I think their defense was that good. The quarterback play was a major question mark for them. I think a healthy Matt Stafford had them in the Super Bowl last year.
Okay. I think the Rams would be improved with Stafford at QB. Making the Super Bowl, the Rams haven't been the same since they made the Super Bowl a few years ago. There are a lot of questions around, you know, staff and players. I don't know. My money's going to be on the Colts as a team. It's not necessarily Stafford-Wentz. It's more so the infrastructure and the team itself. I think the Colts are primed for the Super Bowl over the Rams.
I would like to see that game the Rams played against the Packers if Aaron Donald was healthy. I think that was a big factor in that game. I think the world is sleeping on the Rams. I'm telling you right now, L.A., Matthew Stafford is leading you to the promised land soon. All right, as we continue in a moment here, much more to come, including Big Ben. Could help the Steelers out of a financial jam this week, but will that actually make the team any better? We'll tell you what to expect next. Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lift every voice and sing.
The only man to ever win a Super Bowl and an Olympic gold medal, Bullet Bob Hayes was declared the world's fastest human in 1964. The following year, he was named NFL All-Pro in his rookie season with the Cowboys.
And we welcome you back to our studio here. Greeny with you. Get Up on ESPN. Coming to you live as always and with you commercial free for the next 14 minutes here on ESPN. Taking you to the top of the hour. And that's when First Take will take over. And coming up, they're talking about the Nets who rolled through both LA teams on their road trip. Have they cemented themselves as the best team in the East? Molly, Max, and Stephen A. have the answers. It's First Take following us at the top of the hour here on ESPN. Again, we're commercial free until then, and we're doing our QB reads with Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we're going to put you on the spot and make some quarterback predictions, and let's start with the New York Jets. Who will be their starting quarterback this season?
Greeny, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I'm saying it's Sam Darnold. He's not even 24 years old. And when you look at kind of what's gone on for him in New York, you know, Todd Bowles is last year with Jeremy Bates as the offensive coordinator, and obviously 2 years with Adam Gase. I think there is more to Sam Darnold than what we've seen, and he's already a Jet. To me, I think you can build around this guy. So I'm saying they stick with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about that, and we will. Meanwhile, how about Houston? Who will be their starter next year?
Listen, I'm reluctantly going to say that they end up moving Deshaun Watson. And with that being the case, I think that they then are in the market to get a young guy, someone they can sell. And so I'm going to say Trey Lance. Like, I don't think it's the right move to trade Deshaun Watson. Their hand may be forced. As Mike Tannenbaum said earlier in the show, you need to do it before the draft if you're going to do it. And with that being the case, I think that ends them up with Trey Lance.
Yeah, Lance is a name. If you don't already know, you will as we get closer to the draft. How about Washington? Who'll be their quarterback?
Well, you know, these guys are kind of flying under the radar. They did win their division last year. How about Ryan Fitzpatrick? He's kind of this guy that keeps finding himself without a home, and then he ends up somewhere, and he plays really competitive football, makes the people around him better. So I think you look at Washington and say, Ryan Fitzpatrick would be a great guy. Think about the deal he signed in Miami, 2 years, $13.5 million. You know, you're not paying an arm and a leg for him, and I think you get good quarterback play.
I think that is such an important point. I want you to look at these numbers on the screen. Cindy, leave them up there a second. Ryan Fitzpatrick, over the last three seasons, has a better QBR than Deshaun, a better completion percentage than Tom Brady, more yards per attempt than Russell Wilson, and a higher touchdown percentage than Dak Prescott. In other words, what we're trying to say here is, while no one pays any attention to it at all, this is not, you know, your grandfather's Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy that we always used to think was incredibly inconsistent and made the huge mistakes and everything else. He's been a genuinely terrific quarterback the last couple of years, and no one takes it seriously. So I think the point I'm trying to make here, Kimberly, is, and I made this point on the radio a couple of weeks ago, in this game of quarterback musical chairs, someone is going to wind up with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and their fans are not going to be excited about it. But those numbers suggest there's an argument to be made that they're actually winding up with an excellent quarterback. Kimberly, what do you think?
As somebody who has watched Fitzmagic in person, I love it. In year one, as long as you keep him for 1 year, he's great. What we saw in Miami, put up great numbers. But more importantly, he was a great guy for Tua. I know at the end of the season, there were some hurt feelings about being benched for Tua and all that, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, the guy belongs in a Canton just for the fact that he is still playing. And everywhere he goes, he seems to reignite his career. In Washington, you know, their QB situation between Haskins and Alex Smith, who is still coming back from the leg situation, and Tyler Heinicke, they have him. But Ryan might actually be a decent fit, a one-year rental, if you will, because he's a good locker room guy, and you know he's going to take a young team and just show them how to do the job, and then you get rid of him.
Well, look, Mike Tannenbaum, Hembo put the numbers up there. The Washington football team had the worst quarterback play of any team in the NFL last year. They still went 7-9 because that defense is that good. You put a guy like Ryan, I don't know what their other options are, but you put a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick on there, to me it becomes a very interesting situation. Mike T., what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. You win for today with Ryan Fitzpatrick and that top five defense. You're also developing Taylor Heinicke maybe for tomorrow. So it makes a ton of sense. I think they would compete with Dallas, assuming that Dak Prescott is back for the division. Like you said, it's a really, really good defense. They got a couple of really intriguing young skill players in Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson. So this makes a ton of sense to me. It's a little bit under the radar, and they already signed Heinicke to an extension, which I like. So this really fits, checks a lot of boxes for both sides.
And to, Tim, just to finish it up where we began it with it, which is with you, whether it is Washington or somewhere else, and we were just asking you to largely to guess here, I think the larger point is the one that I made when I was asking Kimberly. Some team is going to sign Fitzpatrick. Their fans are not going to rejoice about it. But the truth is they're getting a much better player than they realize. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And Greeny, you said, you know, I don't know what the other options are. Look, maybe you're talking about Cam Newton. Maybe you're talking about a trade for Gardner Minshew. That's what you're talking about. With where Washington's picking in the draft, they'll probably lose out on some of these guys coming out. And so, yeah, and then throw in the contract. Look, I just said, he signed a two-year, $13.5 million deal in Miami. So you're not talking about paying him anywhere near starter money. You're just not. And so, yeah, good quarterback play, cheap contract, and by the way, a great leader and guy in the locker room.
Absolutely. Look, and with all due respect to Cam Newton, who's had a sensational career, you watch the two of these guys play last season, there's no comparison. No comparison between what Ryan Fitzpatrick looks like he has left right now and what Cam does. So we will say, I think that is an intriguing one to keep a close eye on. The most intriguing quarterback situation, obviously, is the one in Dallas, where the Cowboys have a huge decision to make this offseason. You could sign Dak to a multi-year deal, or you could franchise tag him again. Cowboys legend Drew Pearson issued a warning over the weekend about this. It's worth listening to.
Where do you go if you don't sign Dak? And if you let him go, especially if you let him play under the franchise tag this season, and you don't sign him anywhere along the line to a long-term contract, Dak ain't going to be here after that. Dak has a tremendous influence in that locker room. He is the leader. He sets the pace, much like Roger Staubach set the pace for us. That's what Dak's real value is.
Okay, so Kimberly Martin, explain, because it feels like we talk about this story constantly because it's been going on now for 2 years and change. But this is a critical week for this story. Kimberly, for those who don't know, why is that?
Well, deadline spurs action, and tomorrow starts the 15-day window for teams to designate franchise guys and transition guys. And it's expected that the Cowboys will franchise Dak for the second straight year, but this time it's going to cost over $37 million if he plays under the tag. So hopefully, Jerry Jones listens to Drew Pearson, because we've all been saying the same thing about getting a deal done.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Mike Tannenbaum, I feel like you're the one who's been saying it the longest, but we understand where they sit right now. So Dak is sitting on $37 million guaranteed dollars this year, and he knows it. So that's where any conversation begins, I suppose. If you're Jerry Jones and you make up your mind, I have to get this deal done now no matter what else happens, where is it? What is it you're offering?
It's $40 million a year and nothing below that, because that's what Deshaun Watson signed for, and it's at least 3 years of guaranteed money. And you have to get the deal done ASAP, Greeny, because the cap is going down. That $37 million is taking a higher percentage of the cap. They need a massive amount of help on both sides of the ball. There's tremendous amount of pressure to get this deal done within the next 15 days so that franchise tag would come off their books and get a lower cap number.
And if the hangup is years, which is what we're hearing, that the Cowboys have wanted a longer deal and Dak does not, you're going there. You whatever it is he wants, you're giving him 3 years if that's what he wants?
Greeny, it's 100% capitulation. Here's the contract, Dak. You basically fill it in, and we have to accept it. You win, we lose. We blew it 2 years ago. It's going to cost us $50 million. We're going to cut our losses and get it done.
That sounds good to you and to me. It's tough for me to picture Jerry Jones doing that, but I think you have it right. Tim Hasselbeck, what do you think?
Well, to just kind of put it in some context, you know, Mike is basically saying 3 years, $120 million, fully guaranteed. You know, if they would have done this deal a while back, think back to the deal Kirk Cousins did. 3 years, $84 million, fully guaranteed. So you were more in the realm of that kind of neighborhood of contract. But by waiting, that's the kind of money they costed themselves. And, you know, last year it sounds like they were trying to push it to a five-year extension. Dak wanted a four-year extension or maybe shorter. And so by doing that, they've lost. Even though he got hurt last year, Dak Prescott has won this negotiation.
Okay, Tim Hasselbeck, outstanding. Let me then go through the final piece of the program today, which is we have asked each of you today to predict on the program what will be the biggest story of this quarterback week. Quarterbacks have been in the center of everything. So let's find out from you what you think is going to be the biggest storyline this week. Tim, what's the biggest storyline this week in the NFL?
The Hasselbeck Herald, I guess, has Marcus Mariota going to the Patriots. Look, they're a team that's kind of does a good job of having value. You know, you think about Marcus Mariota, played really well in Las Vegas in relief last year. And I think he's a guy that still has a lot of potential. A tremendous runner, a better than advertised passer. And you think about $10.5 million as your starting quarterback, you could pair him with a young guy that you're developing, even though Mariota's just 27 years old.
A really interesting one. Tannenbaum, how about you? What's the story this week going to be?
Drew Brees officially retired. He already renegotiated his contract down for cap relief. He needs to retire, make it official this week, and simultaneously get Jameis Winston under contract. He's the heir apparent in New Orleans. Both of those things should happen this week.
Yeah. Tough to watch him walking off that way, but it does appear it was the last time we will see him in a Saints uniform. Kimberly, how about you? What will be the big story in the NFL this week?
Martin, morning news, I love it. We are going to hear that Big Ben and the Steelers have agreed to a restructured deal. Listen, I don't love the cap situation the Steelers are in, whether they keep Ben or not, but Ben wants to be a Steeler and he wants to keep playing. And even though Kevin Colbert, the GM, did not sound all that enthused about the money, I think both sides realize that it's just easier to get something done and focus on the rebuild at QB a year from now.
Well, that is really the question here, Tim, is it time to find the next quarterback in Pittsburgh immediately? That was kicked around a lot here last week. Where do you stand on where they are right now, Tim, as far as Roethlisberger and next season?
Well, I think if Ben is willing to give them, a fair market deal for, how he should be paid right now in terms of how they structure it to help him go out on a high note, I'm okay with that. Look, I understand the year didn't end the way Ben wanted it to. He still threw 33 touchdowns and just 10 picks. It's not like he was, he was lost or wasn't able to compete ever at a high level. Is he the same player he once was? Not even close. But, building it properly around him, I still think, look, it's a team, the double-digit win team. So, I don't think you have to move on from Ben, no. But he also has to be willing to do a fair deal.
And so, Mike T, how about the succession plan? Whether Ben comes back, well, let's live in a world where Ben does come back next year. Let's hear it. What is the succession plan in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they have to go draft a quarterback. I disagree with Tim. You have to move on from Ben. Do it right now. You're stopping progress. Those other three quarterbacks of the AFC North are already better, younger, and have much better futures. You're stopping progress if he comes back this year. And even though the numbers were there, a lot of it was just underneath throws that anybody can make. I would use a first-round pick. Maybe you have to trade up for a Mac Jones, get a Trey Lance. But you got to move on. It's been a great run, but it's time to move on from Ben.
That's a lot to trade up, though, right? Did you get the guys you're talking about? You got to get in the top 10. You have to give up a lot to get there.
And if you do, if you get it right, you'll be happy for the next 10 years. So it's probably going to take next year's first-round pick. But again, Greeny, if you don't do it now, you're stopping progress, and you're going to be having the same conversation next year, and you're not going to win a Super Bowl in 2021 with Ben Roethlisberger as your quarterback.
No, that's likely right. But there's no reason you can't do both. Kimberly, final word. Go.
Yes, you may not be able to win a Super Bowl with Big Ben, but a kid in the draft, that's also going to be a project as well. You got to see what he is. It's not a proven science of drafting, guys. Big Ben on the decline, but Ben's a veteran. He's been there. You get other pieces, maybe you try to make one more run.
All right, we'll see where it winds up. Everybody, thanks for getting up. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.